Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at a space that has been, well, tragically stagnant for decades. Osteosarcoma.
It's a rare and really aggressive bone cancer. It mostly affects children and young adults.
And the prognosis is just devastating, especially when it comes back in the lungs.
Which is exactly why the source material on OS Therapies, Inc. is so compelling. After more than 40 years with no new approved treatments, they're making some serious headway.
Right, with two novel platforms. We're going to focus first on their lead asset, this listeria-based immunotherapy called OST-HER2.
And the phase 2b data for that, well, it's pretty remarkable.
So let's get right into it. The results aren't just incremental, are they? They seem to represent a pretty major shift. Let's start with the primary endpoint, event-free survival, EFS.
Right. So EFS basically measures the time until the cancer comes back or, you know, the patient dies. For these patients with recurrent resected lung cancer, the trial, it showed a 12-month EFS of 35%.
35%? And how does that compare to what we've seen historically?
Well, the historical controls hover at around 20%. So this is a statistically significant finding.
Yeah.
It's roughly a 75% relative improvement.
Wow, a 75% relative improvement. That's huge for this incredibly difficult to treat group.
It is.
But what about overall survival? I mean, that's the other big piece of the puzzle. What are we seeing there?
So we have to be clear. This is interim data on a small cohort, but the trend is very, very strong. At the two-year mark, 75% of the patients who got the treatment were still alive.
Okay. And the historical control for that?
It's around 40%.
So you're looking at nearly double. That suggests a really durable long-term advantage.
It does. But, you know, regulators will be watching closely to see if that benefit holds up as the trial matures.
Let's unpack the science a bit because it's fascinating. We're talking about using listeria. The bacterium we usually associate with food poisoning. How do you turn a pathogen into a cancer therapy?
It's basically a highly specialized Trojan horse strategy. They use a weakened or attenuated form of listeria, and it's been bioengineered to carry a specific cancer marker, in this case HER2, directly to the immune system.
So how does it deliver the payload without getting destroyed?
That's the ingenious part. When an immune cell swallows the listeria, the bacterium releases a toxin. This toxin, it acts like a key. It lets the bacterium break free inside the cell.
So it escapes the prison, so to speak.
Exactly. And then it can efficiently release its HER2 cargo right where it needs to be. It essentially uses the immune cell's own machinery to train the body's T cells on what to look for and what to attack.
A highly targeted immune response.
A very robust one, yes.
This strategic thinking seems to go beyond the lab, right into the regulatory side of things. Can you tell us about the rare pediatric disease designation?
Yeah, the regulatory path is aggressive. Because it has that RPDD status, the company is aiming for an FDA accelerated approval by Q3 2026.
And if they hit that deadline?
If they get approval before the end of September 2026, they become eligible for a priority review voucher, a PRV.
And a PRV is a major financial asset, isn't it? It could be sold to other companies.
It is. They've recently sold for around $150-160 million. That's a huge amount of non-dilutive capital for a smaller company.
That kind of funding must create enormous flexibility. I also saw they have this comparative oncology angle.
Right. They spun off OS Animal Health to treat canine osteosarcoma. And this is a key part of the strategy because the disease in dogs shares about 96% of its genetics with the human form.
Now, the data you get from treating dogs can actually support the human trials.
It's a fantastic translational model. It helps the dogs and it helps accelerate development for children. A win-win.
Okay, let's switch gears to their second engine, the tunable antibody drug conjugate platform. Or OST-TADC.
Right.
Traditional ADCs are powerful, but they often cause a lot of collateral damage, right? Off-target toxicity is a huge problem.
It's their biggest limitation. The OST-TADC platform is designed to fix that with a kind of double security system. First, there's the patented Selinker.
The Selinker.
Think of it as a chemical fuse that only lights in an acidic environment. Because it's silicon-based, it's very stable in the bloodstream, but it breaks apart instantly when it gets to the acidic tumor.
And the second layer of security.
Those are the conditionally active payloads, or CAPs. These are incredibly potent cancer-killing agents, but they're designed to only switch on under those exact same acidic conditions.
So you get a double check. The drug only gets released in the tumor, and the payload only activates in the tumor.
Exactly. It dramatically boosts the effect inside the tumor while minimizing the damage everywhere else. It really widens the therapeutic window.
So when you step back, you're looking at a company using everything from engineered bacteria to advanced silicon chemistry to tackle a problem that hasn't seen progress in decades.
You know, treating these rare, high unmet need pediatric cancers, it just requires new tools and unconventional thinking. And what we're seeing here is this alignment of human regulatory strategy with data from comparative oncology in dogs.
Which brings us to a final thought for you to consider. What does it really mean for the future of personalized medicine when breakthroughs for pediatric cancer can be sped up, not just by traditional drug development, but by linking human health with the health of man's best friend?